I'm Marty Moscoe, and welcome to Radio Times. One of the most vocal critics of Pennsylvania's new voter ID law is Stephanie Singer, the new chair of Philadelphia's Office of City Commissioners. Speaking at a rally before Governor Corbett signed the legislation, she said the purpose of the bill was to suppress the vote in Philadelphia, a Democratic stronghold. More recently, she complained that there wasn't enough money to implement the program. Singer was sworn in on January 3rd, having ousted longtime commission Chief Marge Tartaglione. Singer wants to make the city's electoral system more transparent and more accountable. Her office is also investigating overvotes cast in a number of voting divisions. Stephanie Singer joins us here in our Philadelphia studio. She served as a Democratic ward leader for Philadelphia's 8th Ward. She also was a math professor at Haverford College and founded two businesses here in the Philadelphia area. And Stephanie Singer, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It is a pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you. Why did you want this job?
I wanted this job. I really wanted this job. I wanted this job because I believe that democracy is what makes this country great, that equal opportunity is what makes this country great, and that free and fair elections are the cornerstone of democracy and equal opportunity.
Why do you think voter turnout is so low, whether it's a primary election, even an off-year election, and even in an on-year election? Why do so few people bother to vote?
I think it has to do with the information that they get about voting or don't get about voting. What brings people out to the polls, we'll see a big turnout in November. What brings people out to the polls is knowing what's going on, and knowing what the consequences of that election might be for them, for their community. So when there are lots of TV ads, when there's lots of national media attention, lots of national TV attention to a race, then people come out, like they'll come out in November. But when there isn't that national focus on it, and there isn't a lot of money coming in for TV advertising, people don't know about it. So that's a big part of the low turnout. So I see part of my role is to educate the public and to take advantage of the technological revolution in information, to get information out to people so that they understand the consequences of every election.
Do you think your job should be one that is elected? And I know in part when you ran, you were talking about even abolishing this office or making it a more appointive office. Where do you stand on that issue today?
Well, when I started running, I did think that this office would be fine as an appointed office. You can't abolish it. Somebody has to run elections. So you can't abolish it completely because it's actually a big job to conduct the elections. But as I talked to people on the street, as my volunteers went out and reported back what they were hearing, and as we did a poll on it, it became clear that Philadelphians did not want this office to be chosen any other way than by voting. People wanted to elect the city commissioners. So if that's what the people want, that's what I'm for.
I wonder, though, and this is a city with a majority Democrat electorate and also elected officials as well. If you're a Republican in the city, can you feel confident that you will be taken care of along with everyone else in the city who goes to vote?
I'm not sure what you mean by taken care of.
That you know that your vote is going to count, that you know that the system is there for you as well.
Absolutely. One of my goals is to restore confidence in free and fair elections in Philadelphia. And we have a ways to go on that score. But the steps are the first step is to make sure that elections are free and fair. And I can't speak for my predecessors on that point, but that's something that is very important to me. And as the chair of the city commissioners, I have a lot of opportunity to influence that, a lot of opportunity to put in oversight that wasn't there before, doing some data consistency checking. That sounds fancy, but it's just about comparing the number of votes on the machine to the number of signatures in the poll book, right? They should be consistent. So there are things that we are doing now that were not done before, and that the point of that is twofold. I want elections to be free and fair.
Right.
And I want people to know that they are free and fair and have confidence that they are free and fair.
And this math background, is that helpful?
Enormously, especially in politics. One of the wonderful things about mathematics is that there is objective truth in mathematics. And a mathematics training really reinforces the value of objective truth. Now, there's lots of objective truth isn't the whole story. There's so much more to life. But a fundamental belief that some things are true and some things are false is very important, especially in politics where truth can shift so quickly.
You've been on the job for just a couple of months now, and Philadelphia certainly has this reputation, deserved or undeserved, for corrupt elections. Is there any way from the couple of months that you've been on the job to know whether that's true or not, or is it a perception?
Well, it's very hard to get good data about past elections, ones that happened before I was on the commission. We do have some information. You hear a lot of stories, but there's a difference between hearing stories and having someone who's willing to bear witness to something in a public way or a formal way. So I want to say right off that I have seen no evidence, none of the kind of voter impersonation that was supposedly the impetus for the voter photo ID law. But yes, we have found in the 2011 primary divisions where there were more votes, significantly more votes on the machine than there were signatures in the poll book.
And these are the overvotes.
These are the overvotes, exactly.
And what could explain that? I mean, do you think it might just be a sort of a glitch in the system or something a little more nefarious?
There are lots of possibilities. And again, as a trained scientist, I don't like to guess at what the answer is. I like to see what the evidence is or isn't and say as much as I can say. So what I can say is that I can imagine a couple mechanisms. One might be that there was a glitch in the machine. One might be that there was a corrupt insider who misbehaved in some way. Or one might be simply some confusion by the poll workers. You know, the process of signing people in is something that the poll workers handle, and there's human error. And that also might be. Those are the three most obvious categories where one might find an explanation.
And how many polling places are there in Philadelphia?
There are exactly 1,687. Oh, I'm sorry, that's divisions, different divisions. There are about a little over 1,000 polling places. Sometimes, some people, when they go to vote, there are several different tables. So that would be different voting divisions or precincts inside the same polling place.
And how on election day or on a primary day, how many people are working the polls?
There should be 5 people.
At every one of these sites?
Yes. Sometimes 6 or 7 if there are a very large number of voters at that precinct.
And do they have the kind of training you think that they need in order to make sure elections are fair,
accurate? I think we have a lot of room for improvement in how we train poll workers. And that's something that is on the agenda, at the top of the agenda for this summer. I think it's more than a summer project, but we hope to introduce some new kinds of trainings, modes of training. We'll be working with educators and with poll workers and with other people who are close to the process to find better ways to improve the performance of people at the polls.
I mentioned the fact that you have been an outspoken critic of this new voter ID law in Philadelphia, where people are going to be required to have some form of photo ID to have their vote count. And if they don't have it with them, then they do a provisional ballot, and then they have 6 days to get that ID. What is your main criticism of this bill, of this law now?
Well, I have two criticisms. The one is that it's just a mean law. So you say people have to show some ID, but actually there's a very strict list, and it's short and it's complicated. And people who want to see the exact list can go to the state Department of State website, www.votespa.com, V-O-T-E-S-P-A.com, for information about exactly which IDs are eligible. And if they have questions, they should call our office, 215-686-3460.
And you have a quizzical look on your face.
Yes.
We will check that phone number to make sure that that's correct. But you said this is a mean law.
Yes, it's mean because, for instance, there was some discussion of allowing people to use their SEPTA paratransit IDs for voting. And that was apparently shot down. Why? What's the reason for that? Why not allow that ID? SEPTA is a quasi-state agency. I mean, it's not some fly-by-night ID-producing storefront, right? It's a respectable institution in the state. So why not allow SEPTA IDs? Why allow military active, when you are allowing active duty military to have an ID that says unexpired, that says indefinite, why allow that but not allow spouses and dependents of military to use IDs that say indefinite? Why? Mm. There's no justification other than making it harder for people to have the ID.
The justification coming from the governor and others is that there is a problem of voter impersonation in the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, the governor was attorney general for 4 years, and he never prosecuted a case of voter impersonation. And I don't know of any cases of voter impersonation. Again, people love to tell stories, but when you ask them, you know, they'll tell you a story about, oh, you know, somebody bust in from somewhere. And when you ask them, well, when you saw that, what did you do? Did you report it to the district attorney? They're like, oh, well, I didn't really see it myself. So there's no evidence of this. And the other thing that really galls me about this law is that it's expensive. So when we are cutting human services, we are cutting funding for schools. How can a Republican governor in good faith say, we're going to spend $4+ million solving a problem that doesn't exist? If they, and I am, by the way, I'm all for spending money to ensure free and fair elections. It's going to take some resources to do that. But let us do the things that really matter. Let us clean the voter lists so that we have reliable lists in the poll books of people who are eligible to vote. Let us implement signature checking in our post-election routine. Let us give us some money to hire some signature experts or to train our staff on checking signatures. These are the kinds of things that would actually make a difference.
We need to take a very short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. I want to pick up on several points that you just made. Stephanie Singer, our guest today on Radio Time. She is the new chair of Philadelphia's Office of City Commissioners, responsible for voting in the city of Philadelphia. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
Teachers, there's still time to register for summer classes at Arcadia University's King of Prussia campus. The information session on May 10th offers options for next steps in graduate education, master's, doctorate, or certificate programs, and about Arcadia's special education, ESL, instructional technology, and educational leadership programs at the state-of-the-art King of Prussia location. A counselor will be there to discuss admissions and financial aid. Arcadia in King of Prussia, May 10th. Registration at arcadia.edu/masterofeducation. Arcadia supports WHYY.
Hey everybody, Jad here. I wanted to let you know that Radiolab is coming soon to Philadelphia for a live show. We're calling it In the Dark, and it's all about darkness and light, seeing, believing. It's going to be a super fun night because we've got the comedian Dimitri Martin coming with us, the singer-songwriter Tao Nguyen, and the amazing dance troupe Palabolas. They'll all be there. We'll be there June 29th at the Academy of Music. You can get tickets at radiolab.org.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. Charles Dutoit, in his final concerts as chief conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra, leads Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe. And with Maria João Pires, Chopin's second piano concerto. Tickets online or by phone, 215-893-1999. May 17th and 19th at the Kimmel Center, a celebration of Charles Dutoit and the Philadelphia Orchestra.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowain. Stephanie Singer is our guest today on Radio Times, the newly elected chair of the Philadelphia Office of City Commissioner. She served as a Democratic ward leader for a number of years for Philadelphia's 8th Ward, also taught mathematics at Haverford College. And she joins us here in our Philadelphia studios to talk about her plans to improve the election process in the city and also to share her critique of the state's new voter ID law. I should add that I will be interviewing Governor Corbett next week, and we'll have a chance to ask him about the new voter ID law as well. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stephanie, you were complaining that there isn't money in the state to pay for this new voter ID law. You also, I know, have complained that there isn't enough money in the system in order to do the things that you feel like you need to do in order to make sure the city complies with this new law. Is that true?
Well, the city's compliance with the new law, the big piece of it is educating our voters about, we are required by the law to educate to educate the public about the availability of free IDs for voting from PennDOT. And that's a big number. That's printing and postage. Right. That brings us, you know, to a little shy of $500,000. And there are other things that we would like to do. We'd like to do a survey so that we can find out what populations in Philadelphia tend to or tend not to have IDs that are acceptable for voting.
Well, one of the critiques, and including one that you have made, is that you feel as if this law could be used against Philadelphia. Philadelphia votes Democratic largely, as we know. I mean, do you feel like it's pointed at this particular city?
Absolutely. People who are close to the legislature or in the legislature they won't say it publicly, but they've said it to me privately. Republicans have said it to me privately. You know, we know people cheat in Philadelphia is what they say. They say things like that. They say, yes, you know, and I know that this is about Philadelphia. This is about, they say it's about corrupt elections in Philadelphia. And one of the ironies is that there has been some history of corrupt elections in Philadelphia, and most of them have had to do with absentee ballot fraud, which has nothing to do with this photo ID requirement. So using that as an excuse, and it's if you'll forgive me, so last century. I mean, you know, there was this famous case in the 90s, right? But in the 90s.
This is William Stinson.
Yes, the Stinson election.
And this was a case where it was involving absentee ballots.
It involved absentee ballots, yes, and it was overturned, and that was a huge deal, rightly so.
How much do you think voter intimidation or voter deception is a problem in Philadelphia?
You know, I'll tell you the thing that breaks my heart that I think is voter intimidation in Philadelphia, and I have no idea what to do about it. That is people being afraid to go out on the street. So if we move a polling place, because we have to because of the ADA laws and the lawsuit that was brought against the city, we moved a polling place across Kensington Avenue. And people came and they said, look, Kensington Avenue is so dangerous. People are going to be, they are not going to cross, or many of them will not cross Kensington Avenue to vote. Now, in my mind, that's voter intimidation. Now, I'm at a loss as to how to solve that problem, but that's huge. And it's not just, elections are not just about voting. They're about being part of the community. Elections are about communicating with your neighbors and your people. You know, some neighbors are geographic and some neighbors are your neighbors on Facebook or whoever they are. Elections are about communicating with your community about your common concerns. Mm-hmm. I had a long time election activist say, yeah, you know, back in the day we used to go and do voter registration drives. We'd sit out on the corner and talk to people, but I can't get the ladies to go do that anymore.
Because of intimidation?
Because of crime. So it's not like it's aimed at voting, but it affects voting. It affects democracy.
What about deception? I mean, these would be flyers, you know, deceptive flyers or.
Yes, we have had a history of deceptive flyers. That actually is not in the purview of the city commission.
Oh, interesting.
No, the city commissioners are actually not. We don't have enforcement capabilities. We're responsible for conducting the elections and certifying the elections. But as for illegal activity within and around the polling place, that's actually for the police and the DA.
This is even beyond Philadelphia and more anecdotal and where I have voted. I'm always surprised to see people outside the voting place, and whether they are the candidates themselves or their representatives. Often it's bipartisan, so there are a lot of people representing a number of different issues. But it sometimes feels like a little bit, you know, running the gauntlet in order to get into vote.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We have in Pennsylvania, the law is 10 feet from the door to the polling place. And so, and I've been one of those people.
And they're and yes, very friendly. They're
very friendly and yet hard to avoid, right? and the issue is when the legitimate activity of trying to contact a voter as the voter walks into the polls, when that crosses over into blocking the way of the voter into the polls, then that's voter intimidation, and that's illegal.
What do you suggest people do, people certainly in the city of Philadelphia, people that want to vote in November, what should they do?
Oh, so if you want to vote in November, what I'd like you to do is, first of all, take a look at the ID that you plan to use for voting. Go to the website votespa.com or call my office 215-686-3460 if you have any questions about whether that ID is valid for voting. And that list is short, and it's short and complicated. So make sure, first take care of yourself. It's like an airplane. First take care of yourself, yeah. Put on your oxygen mask, then take care of your neighbors. So if you have the kind of relationship with someone where you're comfortable saying to them, show me the ID that you will use for voting in November, then I urge you to do that. A little less personal than that, you can get the list of the IDs that are acceptable for voting, and you can share it with people you know. But if someone doesn't have an ID, they need to get started right now getting one, because in order to get your free ID from PennDOT, and you can get one free if you need it for voting, and make sure that you explain to the PennDOT employees that that's what it's for. The implementation has been less than perfect there. If you need an ID for voting and you need to get it from PennDOT, then you will need your birth certificate with a raised seal, and that can take some time to obtain.
Do we know how many people don't have a birth certificate with a raised seal or don't have the kind of photo ID that would be required?
We don't know for sure, but we do know that there are at least several of them, because they are plaintiffs in a lawsuit that the ACLU and the NAACP and the League of Women Voters have brought against the Secretary of State.
Including an older woman in Philadelphia who has voted for decades,
yes.
Marched with Dr. King.
Yes. Yes.
Almost a poster grandmom.
Poster grandmom. And I'd like to actually say something about that grandmom, because I've heard some people saying, well, if she had a passport before, how come she can't get one now? Well, things have changed a lot since 9/11. The rules have changed. And also at the time she got the passport, she had a Virginia driver's license. You need a photo ID to get a passport. So she had a Virginia driver's license. She doesn't have it anymore because she lives in Pennsylvania now. So she can't get a Virginia driver's license. She can't get a Pennsylvania driver's license or non-driver's license. It really is legitimate. Even though she did have a passport and she did do all these things, things have changed since 9/11, and people move, and this law is really mean.
And that's Stephanie Singer, our guest today on Radio Times, a chair of Philadelphia's Office of City Commissioners, which administers elections throughout Philadelphia County. She served as a Democratic ward leader for Philadelphia's 8th Ward, and as I said earlier, was a math professor at Haverford College, and she's been on the job for the last couple of months, sworn in early January. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHY. Why talking about that most basic right, the right to vote. We have Amanda from Port Richmond joining us on Radio Times. And Amanda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning. Welcome to your new position. So I voted at my local rec center for the primary, and I used the write-in option, but it didn't work. And when I told the women that were in charge of the voting station, they said the other machines from various districts sharing space in that rec center were all having the same problem. And I wanted to know if you were aware of this problem, and if it's a machine problem across the city, is there enough time between now and November to fix that?
Amanda, several good questions. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Thanks, Amanda, and thanks for voting. Yes, yeah, we are aware of it, and it is not a widespread problem to our knowledge, and we have a very careful log of the complaints that come in on election day, and we fix them as quickly as possible, and we follow up afterwards to make sure that we won't have the same problem twice.
A machine problem? Is that what it was?
Yes.
A problem with a machine.
Yes, the roll spooling the tape through the area where the voters write their write-in votes on the tape.
So did Amanda's vote then not count?
Well, that's something that I can't discover. We did have many, many write-in votes in this, not an unusual number, but many, and they count. There were certainly not enough write-in votes this time around to affect the result of an election.
Amanda, I appreciate the call to Radio Times to see what Charlie from Center City, Philadelphia, has to say. And Charlie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I just wanted to commend Stephanie for bringing attention to the poll workers, in particular her efforts to give them a pay raise. I think these workers often go sort of underappreciated and unrecognized, and I think people largely take for granted how difficult it is to pull off an election. It's an absolutely massive undertaking that happens only twice a year. People have to take off from work. They do get paid, but it's a very, very long day. And there's a lot of sort of arcane knowledge that they have to know. So, you know, it is a pretty difficult job. So I just wanted to say that I wholly commend Stephanie for taking on that difficult issue during these challenging economic times.
And Charlie, are you one of those poll workers?
I am not. I'm a committee person, but I don't work behind the table. I'm not a judge of elections or anything like that.
And Stephanie, the pay increase closer to what, $150 for the day?
It should be $150 a day. What we pay now is $100 or a little less for the day, and I think of it as paid volunteering. And I'm so grateful for all the people who do this work when we are sending our young people abroad to fight and sometimes die and often come home wounded in the name of democracy. These are people who are defending democracy at home. And I urge everyone who is listening, everyone, take 2 days a year, work at the polls, and actually next year you can run for judge or inspector of election. And this is a way to really give back to your democracy. If you appreciate what democracy has done for you, this is a way to give back. Now, to pay the poll workers what they deserve would cost an extra $1 million a year. This is one of the biggest line items in our budget, is poll worker pay, because we have almost 1,700 polling stations. We have almost 8,000 poll workers in the city. And I would think that any elected official would love to have those 8,000 people thinking well of them next time the election rolls around. So I don't really see why council is, or the mayor would turn down this chance to do the right thing. Also, you know, it's also an opportunity to put money from the city really in every single neighborhood. We talk about economic opportunity. And anyone who wants to make their views known to city council might go this evening, 6 to 8 p.m., to St. William's School at 6238 Rising Sun Avenue to the budget meeting and let them know.
Charlie, thanks for calling into Radio Time. So how big is your budget?
Our budget is about our budget from the city is about $9 million, and we have some other grant money that brings it. It varies another couple million depending on the year.
And you want, I mean, part of your job is to increase the pay worker pay.
The poll worker pay, yes. Yes, and we're not asking for much else. We are asking for that. We are asking for we're asking for money to deal with the consequences of the voter photo ID law. And then the other things that we're asking for in the budget all have to do with making the Board of Elections a modern workplace with modern management and a respectful workplace where people are treated equally and where the work is done with efficiency.
Let me get, looks like Vincent from New Hope to join our conversation. And Vincent, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, I just wanted to say where I vote is like a mile away from my house, and to get photo ID, I have to drive 20 miles. And when I went to renew my license, the place was closed on Monday, so I went back on Wednesday, and all the machines were down. So they couldn't take your picture, and I had to go back a third time. And that was the day that the governor signed this into law. And when I asked anybody there if this is where you have to get the photo ID for voting, nobody knew anything about it.
Well, Vincent, I'm glad you called in, and I know Stephanie Singer wants to respond. Go ahead, Stephanie.
So, Vincent, I am so sorry, and this is another way in which this law is so mean, and I hope that when Governor Corbett is on the show, maybe you'll call in and ask him about this. This law raises barriers to voting for no good reason. And we just heard some of the barriers of just one person trying to get a photo ID. It's a barrier, and there's no reason for it. But it's the law now.
Vincent, thanks for calling into Radio Times. And it's a law in Pennsylvania. There are also similar laws in other states. I know there's a challenge across the river in New Jersey as well. Do you see this challenge against the new voter ID law in Pennsylvania as in a sense, going into effect before the November election, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, I think that the courts will have to deal with it before the November election. There's no way they can delay it. The lawsuit is very well put together. It's up to the courts. We don't know what they'll decide.
Well, we are talking about voting and elections and talking with Stephanie Singer. She is the new city commissioner here in the city of Philadelphia, responsible for elections in the city. She is a critic of the state's new voter ID law. She also has plans to improve the election process in the city of Philadelphia, including transparency, making sure that poll workers are both trained and paid more than they're paid now. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. Just a couple open lines at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
The University of Pennsylvania supports WHYY. Do your drinking habits cause problems in your personal or professional life? Do you drink to cope with stress? These may be signs of alcohol dependence. UPenn is conducting a research study using naltrexone, an FDA-approved medication for use in treating alcoholism. If you are 18 or older, have an alcohol problem, and want to reduce your drinking, you may qualify for the study. Details at 215-222-3200 extension 170. 215-222-3200 extension 170.
I'm Marty Moscowain.
I'm Terry Gross.
And I'm Dave Davies. Help WHYY celebrate 25 years of Radio Times and Fresh Air at a special live event.
Dave will ask the questions. Marty and I will have to answer them at the Suzanne Roberts Theater in Philadelphia.
It all happens Monday, June 4th at 7, and you can reserve your tickets at whyy.org/member experience.
Celebrate 25 years of public media's best, Radio Times and Fresh Air.
The 80 social service programs supported by the Catholic Charities Appeal work to assist people across the region, like the teenager who grew up on the streets who is now a certified business software specialist, or the young woman with Down syndrome who now has a job in retail. Loyal contributors, plus thousands of new and lapsed donors, are stepping up to help in these challenging times. But the challenges of those in need are harder than most of us may ever face. Learn how to help at CatholicCharitiesAppeal.org. Catholic Charities Appeal supports WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, and if you're just joining us, Stephanie Singer is our guest. Elected in November and sworn in January, she is the chair of Philadelphia's Office of City Commissioners, a new position for her. And we are talking about what it takes to vote, some of the obstacles that she sees at to voting with this new voter ID law. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. And we're also taking emails, and I have one from William, who says, if you have time, could you speak about why we cannot have a holiday for voting day? I was in South Korea for some time, and they have very high rates of voting and have the workday off as a holiday to vote.
Well, I would love to have a voting holiday. I would love for Election Day to be a festival with bands in the streets and parades and people off work. And the kids are already off school in the public schools. I would like people to dress up and put red, white, and blue ribbons in their hair and drive around on motorcycles that have the stars and stripes painted on them. I would love to see that. That is a decision of it could be Philadelphia could make it a Philadelphia holiday. Mm-hmm. The state could make it a state holiday. And I suppose the federal government could make it a federal holiday. That's something to lobby your legislators about.
And what fun would that be, right? With parades and motorcycles and streamers and banners. But we don't do that.
Right. We don't do that. Well, I think people today sometimes need to be reminded that voting is not just about who wins. Voting is about showing that your community, your people, whoever they are, that you as a group are engaged with society. And that really has, elections have consequences far beyond who wins. So let me give you an example.
Go ahead.
Jews represent about 2% of the U.S. population, but we vote. We vote much more than non-Jews on average. And even when you take out wealth, and even when you adjust the data for that, those kinds of concerns, Jews vote. And so we're 2% of the population, but we're about 6% of the House of Representatives. We're about 11% of the Senate and about 22% of the Supreme Court. So we have this outsized voice because we vote. Here's another example, the AARP, so seniors. Seniors vote, and everybody knows that seniors vote. And if you think about if you look at how much of our government resources go to seniors in one way or another, it's striking. Here's just one example, the Pennsylvania Lottery. Almost 100% of that goes to seniors. Now, seniors have issues. Seniors should get resources, but what about scholarships for kids? There are lots of other groups who should get resources. Why do the seniors get these resources? It's because they vote. And it's not because they voted for this person or that person. It's because, simply because, they came to the polls and they voted. You can also see it. You can see it in our own legislative delegation in Harrisburg. We have every neighborhood. We have lots of state representatives who come from Philadelphia and go to Harrisburg. Who are the ones in leadership? Well, you've had for a long time Dwight Evans. You've had Sherelle Parker. Both of them, now Sherelle Parker, even though she hasn't been a rep for that long, but she's in leadership already. Why? Well, she and Dwight Evans are from the Northwest, and the Northwest of Philadelphia votes. They come out in huge numbers.
Interesting. Let me get Antoinette from, looks like, Point Breeze to join us on Radio Times. Antoinette, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. Hi. I wanted to commend Stephanie for her work to make the election process in Philadelphia transparent. However, I did want to argue my point based on my experience in the primary of last year. I was working for Barbara Capozzi. I'm a committee person in the 36th Ward and campaigning on her behalf. And unfortunately, and she lost that election, the primary election for city council, by 40 votes. And we conducted an investigation afterwards, which showed that tape had been placed over her name and Damon K. Roberts, another candidate in the race's name, and 8 deceased people had actually voted. So I would argue that, you know, requiring IDs is not, what Stephanie said, archaic. It's actually something that should have been done a long time ago to ensure that there is accurate voting in the city of Philadelphia, especially when we have such low voter turnout.
Yeah, and Antoinette, how do you know 8 dead people voted?
We conducted an investigation and then actually was supposed to go to court in July, and the judge threw it out without even letting us show our evidence. We were able to go into the polling stations after the fact and investigate the machines with the candidate who won's lawyer present with us, and we actually found tape placed over Barbara's name, David K. Roberts' name, and 8 deceased people on the voting records.
So that they had signed in?
Yes.
They had signed in. Well, let me see what Stephanie Singer has to say.
So I know about the tape, and that should not, that happened under my predecessor, and it should not have happened. The evidence of dead people on the rolls I have not seen, and that is very important. I hope that you will bring that to the city commissioner's office so that we can investigate that. We get death certificates. We do take dead people off the rolls in a very organized way. We get the death certificates from the state and get them off within a month or two. So it would be very helpful to have that data, and please contact my office with it. The number is 686-3460.
You're going to do that, Antoinette?
Yes, we will. I do think we've tried many different scenarios, and unfortunately the judge threw out the case before we were even able to present the evidence, and it was just too expensive to keep pursuing. But I do think that corruption is very deep in Philadelphia based on my involvement since 2004. And I think this ID law, unfortunately, is difficult, but will help to avoid voters not turning out because they think it's not transparent, and also further corruption.
Well, and I hopefully you will talk with Stephanie's office and try to address this issue as well. Thanks for calling into Radio Times. Any other thing you want to say in response to that, Stephanie?
Well, just that, again, the issue here seems to be, why were those people on the list?
Right.
If indeed it does, if it does turn out that there were dead people on the list, if that evidence is there, then the question is, why were they on the list? And that's, again, that's where you want to, if you want to have free and fair elections, you need to go after the big ticket items. You need to go after the things that are going to make a big difference. And you need to, like everything else, you need to use your money wisely.
But she also mentioned names being taped over inside a polling booth.
Well, that's a different issue that has nothing to do with voter impersonation, and that is a terrible thing that happened last year before I was on the commission, and it should not have happened.
Thanks for calling in, Antoinette. Let me get Paul from Kennett Square to join our conversation. And Paul, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about access to voter IDs from PennDOT. You said that you just go down to PennDOT and get your free photo ID. In the first place, it's not so easy. PennDOT has turned people away, and as you know, there is an ACLU suit.
Yes.
To counter that. Also, the photo IDs are not always free, because to get the documentation you need to get the photo ID from PennDOT, it costs money, sometimes as much as $100. I think you ought to mention that. But I'm hanging up now.
Okay, Paul, and thanks for calling in. I should add, just looking at my computer, calling from a retirement community, and I know that's also part of this voter ID law as well.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Paul for making that point, and it's very important that people have had trouble at PennDOT, not just right after the law passed, but even ongoing trouble at PennDOT. I was there a couple weeks ago. They didn't even list it on the forms. So it's a huge issue of how two issues. Is PennDOT doing the right thing and holding up its end of the bargain? And then the other issue, which is the cost of getting a photo ID, even if PennDOT doesn't charge you, if you need to pay to get the ID otherwise, then is that a poll tax? And that's an issue that has been raised in the lawsuit, as it should be. And thanks, Paul, for reminding us of that.
Paul, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Are you concerned, Stephanie, that there's still confusion about this law, that some people might just say, you know, this is just too hard. I have voted in the past. I'm just not going to do it now.
That breaks my heart. I'll tell you why that breaks my heart. I have heard that, and it breaks my heart because the real way to win against this law is for Philadelphia to vote. I believe that this law was instituted because certain people didn't want Philadelphia to vote. And the way to beat this law and to beat what this law means, this law is a tactic. The way to beat what it means is to vote. In 2010, there were 500,000 eligible Philadelphians who didn't vote. 500,000. So in a sense, we're already lying down on the job. Why, you know, if you're lying down, how can you complain if someone kicks you because they tripped over you because you're just lying down? So to people who say, well, I'm just not going to bother, I would say, please, for the sake of Philadelphia, for the sake of your neighborhood, please vote. Do what it takes, come and vote, because that is the only way, in the end, to repeal a law like this.
Let me get Jackie from Morton to join us on Radio Times. And Jackie, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
My husband and I were in the process of moving. We had renewed our driver's license last year for our photo driver's license. So we just received the little yellow card that you get when you change your address. We took them to the polling places in April to see, you know, because they told us to bring ID, and we were informed by the people at the polling place that come November, because our driver's license has one address and these little cards have another address, we would not be eligible to vote. I then contacted PennDOT, who informed me that they do not reissue photo IDs just because you've moved. In other words, I can't change my driver's license picture until renewal time, which is 3 years from now.
So you same picture, different address.
Right? Yes. And now, according to them, we're not going to be able to vote come November. And I voted, I'm 46, I voted every election since I was 18.
Well, Jackie, let me see what Stephanie Singer has to say. And obviously you're outside of Philadelphia, but the yes. law is the law. Fair enough.
So Jackie, first of all, thank you for voting in every election. That's wonderful. The poll workers misinformed you. So the law, the address on your photo ID does not have to match any other address. It is a proof of identification only. It is not a proof of residence. And so you are all right with that ID. You are legally allowed to vote. So what county are you in?
Delaware
County. Talk to the Delaware County Commissioner?
Talk to the Delaware County Commissioner and please let me know how it goes. Because it's very important, and there should not be this misinformation should not be out there. I should say, in defense of the Delaware County Board of Elections and our own Board of Elections, we had no time to develop training for poll workers on this. When the law was passed, we were halfway done with our poll worker training here in Philadelphia. So But this must be corrected. And people in your, when you do find out, you know, when you, you should also, if I would urge you to talk to your neighbors and other people who vote in your precinct to make sure that they know the truth. And to the poll workers, so that they know the truth.
Jackie, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Let me squeeze one more caller in. Mike from the Northeast. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
I have a question regarding the, when you move to a new voting precinct, you get a new voter registration card. And this, it states on the card that this is, it's a legal ID for your voting purposes. And then I argued with my polling place that, why issue this card when people move? People are going to be constantly moving in and out of different precincts up until November. So you're disenfranchising a whole group of people who are in moving, just like the last caller said. And secondly...
Well, you know what, Mike? Only because we have just a minute before we have to say goodbye, let me give Stephanie Singer a chance to weigh in on that.
So it's this is one of the many little changes we need to make in response to the law. We need to take that language off of the ID card. And actually, that's not us. That's the state. They control that. They need to change that language. Mm-hmm. Because that card is no longer a proof of identification for voting. It used to be. But it is no longer a valid proof of identification for voting.
Mike, thanks for calling into Radio Times. There's a lot of confusion out there. Does this sound like the phones in your office with people with questions?
Absolutely. We are getting questions all the time. All the time. And we're doing our best to answer them and to work with the groups in Philadelphia. There are lots of nonpartisan groups who are working to get the information out.
Well, to be continued, Stephanie Singer, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times, the new chair of the Philadelphia Office of City Commissioners. She gave out the phone number. I'll give it out again if you have any questions about voting in Philadelphia, 215-686-3460, 215-686-3460. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out more about this program, including podcasts and email, archives, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. We'll be right back.